Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pod Maverick Group Therapy. I am Kirk Henderson, joined by no one quite yet. Very sorry for the extended break. To be quite honest with you, the grind of that regular season just kind of took it out of me, and I was enjoying hanging out with my wife. But, you know, the first round of the playoffs has started after the play-in, and I figured it was finally time to actually talk a little bit of basketball. For anybody who is interested in joining the show, the way you do so is really straightforward. There's going to be a link here in the YouTube chat, and this is how you join. You can come up here, talk a little ball with me about anything that is on your mind, and we will do so probably for at least a half hour. I don't really have anything else going on. I'd kind of like to watch the season finale or the next episode of The Boys, but that can wait. And so here we are. Let me see here. What else were we kind of going for? Because I told some folks, if you would like to ask me some questions, I got to sit here and see what else I had talked about. Because, nobody really wants to talk Mav stuff with me. It's just sort of the way we're going. Coming up first, I got my man Brian, who is looking handsome. Brian, how are we doing, buddy?
I'm good, brother. How about you?
I am okay. I realized I don't have my headphones in, and I cannot find them on my desk. So I will be like unmuting and unmuting myself until my wife brings me up my second pair of headphones. So what are we thinking lately?
I am thinking, man, it sure would have been nice to have the sixth odds, but you know, at this point, it is what it is. We've gone multiple times, both like in the Slack and like on the timeline over all the little missteps that got us to this point. So all we can do is take what we have now. And if we hold at eight, if we jump up, that's awesome. That we have a whole new set of good problems to sort through. You stay at eight, still some pretty good players that are going to be there. Falling back to 9 and 10, it gets a bit sketchier, but there'll be guys. So
Killikam says, I will wait until the lottery to complain. I think that's actually the right approach, in that if it's something where they were to fall back at that point, I plan to scream and shout like a child, and then say, you know, if only we could have seen this because the math is on paper. But until then, I think that's really the right approach. That Bulls game was very frustrating, but also something we could see from a mile away, in terms of just the win-loss, which was coming. Dallas was never really properly prepared to tank, and like that is, I think, kind of the. This is going to sound harsh. I can't think of another way to phrase it. If there's like an original sin to bitch about, it's that the Mavericks didn't understand early enough their predicament and like go all in and explain it to Patrick, and really get the owner's buy-in, and they never did that. But that's what happens when you don't fire your general manager till the start or till the season goes. And we'll revisit that 1,000 times if they fall back. But until then, it's probably not really worth getting super pissed about. You pointed out, or somebody just pointed this out in the chat saying, the Spurs jumped from 8 to 2. 8 is actually a fairly common jump spot historically, which doesn't mean anything because, you know, that's not how odds work. But it is an interesting point to note. I mean, hell, the Mavericks went from 11 to 1, and that was something we certainly weren't considering. So, yeah, I think that's probably the correct approach in this sort of thing. But, you know, now we're getting to – so today's the 22nd when we're recording this. We have the early – what did we learn yesterday? Players who are entering early need to choose by Friday if they're staying.
By this Friday, the 24th, yeah.
Friday the 24th. So there's going to be some interesting calls there. Kevin O'Connor reported today that, like, Nate Ament of University of Tennessee is really weighing whether he should go back to school or not because next year's draft class is just not it. And he could go much higher in a comparative draft class, which is fascinating considering he would be going 18th now. I wonder how all that, like, that sort of, sorry, if you guys can hear my dog, like, having a cow below my desk here, hopefully not, but it's like, that's just like an interesting thing to me where it's like, we've not seen a lot of guys go back, but the combination of this draft quality paired with the NIL money, it just, it makes it worth considering because like the, I don't remember what the rookie pay scale is, but like a guy that gets drafted 15th or later, like Cooper Flagg makes $10 million a year. Like that is the number one overall pick. He's roughly making 10 million. And then it scales down from there. By the time you get to like in the later teens, it's not that the contract is bad, but it's not like NIL money for very good players is more than that contract.
That's about what you get to go be the man at a high major.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what, isn't that what happened with Thomas Howell? Is that how you say his name?
I don't know what he got to stay at Florida. I know that's what happened with Yaxel last year.
Okay.
We thought he was going to come out and that he might be in the late teens, something like that, maybe early 20s. And then he got a $4 million bag. I'm pretty sure that was the alleged number, $4 million to go to Michigan, transferred there.
18th pick, according to SL Musica, 214 is worth $3.6 million contract. Though not nothing, obviously, but like NIL money for some of these really good players can match that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, and plus, like for somebody like a Met, it seemed like, if I'm remembering the discussion correctly, and I'm not an expert here, this is, you probably watched him way more than I have, but if I understand it correctly, he put on a fair amount of muscle and that really seemed to mess with elements of his game. And he seemed to, it was like he was relearning how to use his body for a significant portion of the season. And I think that's why some people are still so super high on him. Just because it's like, if, you know, he entered as like a top five guy and then sort of tumbled because he didn't perform. And that's, you know, like that's just an interesting problem that he'd be running into. And if he figures out, like his numbers were okay, his rebounding was kind of weak for a guy that's that size in college. But yep. His numbers overall looked all right. And so it's just him coming back to school and some of these, if there's anybody else that's kind of in that, let's just say the Mavericks sort of, if you were looking at the lottery, like guys that are in like the 5 to 15 range, you know, because there's going to be a lot of movement between now and draft day, I think, in that area. And mm-hmm. like anybody that pulls out from there, like Ament, it sort of changes the potential math on the floor there in terms of what guys will be available and who we're looking at.
Yeah, we've already had, I think, Patrick Ngongba, the center for Duke. I think he has already said that he is going to go back to Duke for his junior season. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. That was a day ago, 2 days ago. So that's already one of those guys that's in the range of like 9 to 20, right? That's already pulled out and decided to go back. There are a couple of guys who have entered the transfer portal so that they could, you know, leave their options open in case they do decide that they're not going to declare or stay declared for this draft and they're going to go back and try next year. I think it would be a bit of a mistake for Nate Ament to go into next year. Next year is a weaker class, but this specific class, as strong as it is weak on wings. So if you get to a team that's in the 11 to 15 range that does not have a wing and they're looking for wings and they don't really want Bennett Sturts, they don't really want Christian Anderson, they don't really, you know, trust, I don't know, they don't trust Cam Carr's body type because he's a bit skinny, although I think he's one of the better wings in his class now, especially with guys jumping out to go in the next draft. Nate Ament could definitely find himself flying up to, if somebody really has a wild hair, I'd say as high as like 9, 10, maybe in this draft. So he could go ahead and do that, start the clock early on getting to a second contract. But it's not a bad bet trying to wait it out and go back, because like you said, at the beginning of the year, the added muscle, the adjustment to the physicality of high major college basketball, it threw off his shot a bit. He's already kind of at an athleticism deficit because he's not the fleetest of foot guy at his size. And he's gotten stronger, but he's not like strong per se yet. Where going back to school, adding another 5 to 10 pounds of muscle, learning how to better use his body and use his leverage, where maybe he can do a bit more on ball than like get to a midi pull up. He can work something out mid post, learn how to use his body there. That's a reasonable bet that I can understand him making. If I were him, I would have to like not get any promises that I'm going even in the top 25 in this draft before I consider going back to school. But he could do it.
Well, with sort of that in mind, then, and let's just sort of play with the idea that the Mavericks will eight or nine. I don't really love the concept of talking about 10. 10 just upsets me because it's a double digit number, and I don't want to do that after the year we had. But 8 or 9, I think I can sort of talk myself into. You know, obviously we have another 3 weeks until the lottery, and then roughly 2 months until the draft from today, and a lot of things are going to change. Mm-hmm. Like what you know today and what you're feeling today and what you believe other teams might do today, is there anybody or one or two guys maybe that you would say have jumped ahead in your hopes of who might be there for Dallas?
I mean, well, one guy has been my guy all season long in Mychal Brown Jr. I know that he has had the back stuff crop up and then had the story go around where he explained that it actually originated from a fall he took in high school. And that understandably has some folks a bit wary and frightened in some cases. I was actually listening to James Barlow, Rafael Barlow's brother, his podcast Draft Junkies yesterday, where he was talking about some intel that he got, where basically for whatever you want to believe it's worth, he does not believe that the back is going to be an issue long term. It seems like, obviously, we're going to get to the combine. We're going to get the medicals. Everything's going to have to check out with multiple teams.
Right.
But, you know, if he is confident enough to kind of go on the record and say that, I'll believe James at his word on that, because he's been following this kid pretty much through most of the later part of his high school career, international career with Team USA, and now through college. I like him because I think his skill set is nearly exactly what we need in a secondary star next to Cooper Flagg in terms of his three-point rate, his ability to shoot at a high level on off ball, come off of screens, run pick and roll, make high-level pick and roll reads as a passer, get to the rim, finish with real athleticism and burst. 6'5", not really a bulky kid. He's fairly skinny right now, but steadily adding muscle in the same way Nate Amon is. So I could see him get to 208, 209, maybe 10 pounds, like as he gets a bit older. And then we're just talking about a different kind of beast. It's like a 6'5 big point guard that can play on or off of your star and really compliment him. I really love his game. I think that if the medicals check out, that's the guy that could potentially fall to 8 that I think would be the right choice for us. There are obviously other guards in this draft that, like, I think we could see Kingston Flemings, Keaton Wagler, Darius Acuff, LeBaron Filon. Filon's probably the most likely of those other guys who will be there and around that range. But we could see any of those guys fall to about 8.
And he strikes me as a riser just because of his kind of maturity. Filon. Just because he went back to school and improved. Mm-hmm. And improved in the ways that everyone wanted him to improve upon. And that's, he's no longer like a shiny object because people knew about his game beforehand. But the criticisms of the game, then he went back and I don't know if he necessarily answered criticism, but he addressed them in a way that was very interesting. And I think I remember thinking last year when we were the Mavericks going to draft 11th, like I remember thinking, okay, he'd be an interesting guy to have last year. So I can't bring myself to consider Wagler because I don't think there's just no chance he's going to be there. Somebody I think is going to fall in love with the raw, like the upside, because I loved reading about how he switched from wing to point guard and became more efficient at Illinois. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible thing. And I just think that sort of thing is stuff that scouts and GMs fall in love with. And, if the Mavericks had been lucky enough to stay at 6 or something like that, then that would be in play. But I really think he's gone by then. Of course, could be wrong. There's a ton of stuff that's going to happen before then. But I like Mikal as a concept, because one of the things we keep talking about at Mavs Moneyball is that people need to get used to the fact that Cooper Flagg, while he does need to become a better three-point shooter, he is not going to be a three-point shooter. Like no. that is a tertiary part of his game at best. He needs to be respectable. He'll probably shoot 3 to 4 a game, maybe 5. He's not going to be a 8 3-point a game guy. And people kind of don't when you get into this stuff, you start getting the advanced numbers, but like, just do the math in your head. 8 3-pointers a game over 70 games is a lot of 3-pointers. 4 3-pointers a game over 70 games is still a lot of 3-pointers, but it's half. And it just, it changes the way he score. He would be getting shots up, and he's such an efficient, scary slasher. You don't want that to go away because that is his superpower. Like, I think he'll continue to grow in his game, but as a result of that, when you're considering how you're team building, the Mavericks as a whole have to shoot threes. And Jason Kidd and Dumbass Harrison built a team that was incapable of shooting threes, despite having two of the best volume three-point shooters in the league. Like, very incredibly hard to do. They managed to do it. Kyrie Irving helped solve some of that problem. Not going to argue that here. But Kyrie Irving is also not a long-term, 4 years-out solution. He'll be 37. I can't even remember how old he'll be in 4 years.
He will be 34 going into next season.
Okay, so it's, yeah, he's going to be, you know, and we just can't count on that, nor should we. So it's like a guy like Brown, who I don't remember the numbers exactly, but the three-point rate was kind of like made you laugh out loud relative to a college player. And he was efficient at it, pretty good at it. And so it's like that part of it alone for, you know, a point guard is interesting. So SL Musica asks, does that mean we need someone who will chuck up threes? And it's like, I don't want to necessarily think of it as chucking threes. But if you want to really explain it to somebody that doesn't follow the team, I think that's a pretty good.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's not chucking. If you are, one, getting good shots, two, hitting them at a decent clip, and third, and most importantly, if defenses guard you out there, if they guard you differently because of how you shoot and because of how often you shoot, the shots you take, the shots you make, how you get to those shots, and what that opens up on the other side of the court, that is what matters. And I think Mykal Brown Jr. is that kind of shooter. I think
how is he as a passer?
He has the highest ceiling as a passer in this class. He makes the best passes, the most special passes of anybody in this class pretty comfortably. I think the only person I throw up there with him in that realm is Bennett Sturt. And okay. I like Bennett Sturt, but I just don't think that I'll tell you what. Bennett Sturt is a way better on-ball player and a way better shot creator for himself than I gave him credit for at the start of the season. I went back and I watched some of his games in the second half of the year. And, man, for not really having great foot speed, he is 6'4 and strong and can bully his way to the rim off the dribble. And if he can get to the rim, he is scoring. He shot like 70% at the rim or something crazy like that. That kid is really good. I don't think he'd be a bad fit here. I think he could work here, really, but that's more a pick if we were to trade down from where we are. Not
sure, and that's not going to happen. Like, the reason this pick is so important, and we kind of keep, you know, we've talked about it throughout the season, but this is the last time they control their pick until 2031.
Yep. Like,
this is the last time. They will never pick this high again in the Cooper Flag era. Mm-hmm. And so it's, unless something goes to hell or unless they make some sort of trade and somebody and another team gives it to them. But yeah, the Mavericks pick will not be this high again. So they sort of got to nail it. And
they have to swing.
There's going to be a lot of consternation over this, but it's rightfully so. So, like, the reason I got really pissy about this when sort of Falwell on his podcast was just like, you're going to see a lot of people upset about this. There's good players. He's correct. I just don't like it. It's like the hand wave that the Mavericks got to this point where they're drafting eighth instead of sixth, at least according to the odds, just drives me nuts. Now, we talked about that already. We don't need to circle back to it. But I'm going to be very interested to see who's there just because, you know, we had a my friend, we had a question in the chat that was basically like, is somebody going to Brandon, I brain farted for a second, asked if, you know, if somebody could, that leaps in the top four would then like maybe consider trading down. I mean, you and I've talked about this for 6 months. If the Mavericks were to leap into the top four, I would have to consider it. I would, just for the sheer talent acquisition and like future pick. Now but that's where it's just like, this is a very important year. So it's like, as we all perseverate over this, I just want to emphasize that, like, there's a reason. like, don't let anybody tell you that drafting isn't important, because that's how the best teams are built. You look at all the teams that, you know, the Spurs got luckier than anybody ever wants to actually talk about. The Thunder, you know, they got lucky when they drafted Chet. They fell up in the lottery to get Chet. It's the, you know, the most good teams now are built primarily through the draft, and that's how the Mavericks are going to have to do this. So, like, this pick and the 30th pick are just damn important.
Yeah, I agree. It's why I think that, like, if we were to land in the top four, my honest opinion, I think if you land top two, you draft a guy. You probably just draft. I think what the Mavericks do, you draft whichever of Darren Peterson or A.J. DeBonsa falls to you at two. At one, in my opinion, you just take Darren Peterson because he's the best fit in this draft with Cooper Flagg, and he makes everything that he does a lot easier simply by being on the court. And I don't think his health concerns are actual concerns. I think his health concerns are concerns if you have a medical staff that is not 100% like dedicated to that guy. Because if the issue is cramping, I'm sorry, we're giving you a couple of bananas, some nutrients. We're putting potassium in your system. We're giving you every liquid IV we possibly can. You will never cramp up on our dime. I promise you. That is how a professional team is going to look at it. So that won't be an issue. At three and four, excuse me, at three, I think you just draft one of the top three guys, whichever falls to you. But I would hear it out if you want to trade down and you get a good enough offer that makes it sweet and you're not moving down to like eight, you know, or seven. If you drop down to like six, maybe seven, if you get a good enough offer, sure. At four, I would definitely entertain it.
Sure. That's fun.
As much as
I mean, like, for the sake of content, I sort of hope they leap just for that discussion. That's funny and fun to me. But who knows? We got a lot of stuff here. We got plenty of people waiting. I appreciate you kicking us off here. Before we let you go, I do have one more question for you. Do you have any hopes for the general manager position? Is anything like, have you established a position there? Or do you remember my position?
I would love for you to refresh us.
My position is I want somebody brand new because I think there's so many basketball guys Rafael Barlow, who's an advanced scout now. There's so many people who work their whole lives for one chance, and going with someone who's already done it does not particularly interest me because they don't have the hunger. They don't have the hunger to get it right. That was the Donnie Nelson problem late in that tenure because he already won a championship. He didn't care. So I just want, you know, even if it is Matt Riccardi or Michael Finley, but somebody that has not had the job before, because I want someone to come in pants on fire, ready to make this their life.
I completely understand that. And as a fan who personally would like to believe more in what I think this, not even just the front office, the entire organization is doing, not necessarily top down, but as high up as we can get on down. I would like that too. I would like to know that whoever it is going to be making the majority of the basketball decisions for this team feels as passionately about the success of this team going forward as I do. So that is important to me as well. I personally would totally accept, and I'd be fine with them finally reaching out and interviewing. And if they just hire and bring in Dennis Lindsay from Detroit, I would not mind that simply because I've seen his work here. Sure. And because we've seen his work in Utah, we know he drafts well. We know he hits pretty well along the margins, and that's more along the lines of what we need right now. But I would not mind them going and getting a new, fresh face at all. In fact, I would love if they did that and they empowered that person to go and hire a new coach as well, so we can get a fresh face there on the bench. Because I think
that one we're going to see. Everybody just keep a very close eye on this Knicks series.
Oh, and yeah.
If the Knicks shit the bed, Jason Kidd is going to be floating his name for that position.
Did I already tell you my theory about what's about to happen?
No, please.
After that game one, it doesn't matter if they win this series. Mike Brown is out of there. He's gone this summer no matter what. That job is opening up, and Jason Kidd is going to be open to taking that job, and he'll be eyeing it even more fervently than he was last summer. I genuinely think, because Golden State threw Mike Brown's name in for their head coaching job, because it seems like the way that Steve Kerr is signaling and Draymond is signaling, he might be getting ready to roll up out of that too, because he sees the writing on the wall with that team. There is either going to be a Jason Kidd trade to the Knicks, or there is going to be a we might get the first ever three-team coach trade Would be hilarious. To the Warriors.
Would be hilarious. Anyway. Okay. Thank you so much for kicking us off, brother.
Of course. Thanks for having me up.
All right. Talk to you soon. Okay. Coming up next is Michael. Talked with Brian a little longer than I meant to, but it was a good conversation. That's what we're going to do. Michael, how you doing?
All right. I'm unmuted. I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? That's not great. If you're doing stuff, I'll talk to you in the private chat. I'll bring SC up next. SC, how you doing?
What's going on, Kirk? How are you?
Good. Long time no talk. How are you?
I'm good. There was not a lot to talk about much of the year, so I saw.
There really wasn't.
I saw a couple times where you had stuff, and I listened to them the day after. But I was like, I can't, in good conscience, stay up late and add to this conversation. So. I'm glad you're doing this. Pumped to talk. I wrote everything down, so we'll run through stuff.
Oh, lovely.
Have you been enjoying the first round of the playoffs?
Honestly, I have not followed, but more than the fourth quarter of Wolves, Nuggets, and then I happened to be awake last night. I'm a 42-year-old man who decided to start watching Attack on Titan.
Sweet.
Not really an anime guy, but I was like, somebody got bullied into it and like found myself up at like midnight and then, oh, the Lakers are still on. Watch the rest of that rock fight of a game. But like this first round doesn't interest me as much as and I'm glad the games have been better. So I think I'm going to have to tune into some more of these because they've gotten a little better there.
Yeah. I mean, even right now the Suns and OKC were like within 1 point after a quarter. So wild stuff. But I'm enjoying not really having anything to cheer for other than like, hey, some good games would be nice. But it did make me sad the other day as I was driving in my car to be like, 2 years without having anything on these playoffs. Kind of sad.
It's real sad. It's and, you know, like my co-host will never hear this. So it's fine, Josh. And if you do hear it, don't be mad at me. Like my co-host, I think, is like running, like I think he's sort of running on empty on doing this. Like I think he's just kind of sick of it all, which is fine. Like I don't begrudge him that at all. But the fact that the Mavericks have just been so like you get to January and there's just nothing for two straight years, like that makes it really hard to give a shit. And obviously you don't have to make the playoffs every year, but you at least have to be interesting. And like that's what's been so difficult these last 2 years. Cause I love watching Cooper, but also you ran out of Cooper like praise around game 60. So it's like, how are we gonna do this? So I do miss it. It hopefully next year they're at least like play in adjacent. And I think they will be.
I
like
think that so
at the same time, watching these playoff games, the Mavericks are not close.
And I agree with you, but then I also look at that, and obviously they weren't playing the level that they currently are playing against the Rockets, but I do look at that Lakers team and I was like, the Mavs beat that team. Like that specific setup of that team, like one of the games that we were upset that they won was that one. And then they also beat this disgusting, horrible, deficient Rockets team.
Well, that part, like in a series, I agree.
Oh, yeah. No, I just mean like watching that, I'm like, the Rockets are like disgusting to watch.
Oh, God, horrible. They're so bad. But that's been kind of like one of the things, and like people get really mad at me that are like Jason Kidd fans. Like Jason Kidd's been a part of my life since I was like 8 years old.
It's odd that there are Jason Kidd fans, but continue.
There are, because it's like he was a good player. He had two different stints with the Mavericks. He's important to the Mavericks. I'm not disrespecting him in that way, but it's like he's been a part of my life for so long that I'm kind of sick of it. To one degree or another, you know, and it, and I don't want to discount the past things, but I also just kind of want to be free of him.
Sure.
One of the things that makes people upset is like the Mavericks have not been a good regular season team under Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd is not a good regular season coach. It is okay to say that. The record is the record. Playoffs, the record is also the record where he's been pretty fucking good. But it's a matter of it's like, if we want to get to a playoff series, the Mavericks have to start taking the regular season seriously. Even in that 2022-23 season, so the one where we traded for Kyrie, the Mavericks played a million clutch games. So they were in games, but they weren't good enough to win. And the same thing happened this year. And I think you could argue, okay, they were tanking. Kidd knew what he was doing, stealth tanking. I'm willing to buy that argument. But I also know with Luka Doncic, they barely won 50 games two out of the three seasons that Luka was here, because kid fucked around for like a month at a time.
I do and, also wonder if some of that is like the Luca, like, hey, I can just flip it on as we get closer to the.
I think that's fair. And he
so
has
you had a coach who was also like enabling that because the coach felt the same way. Is like, we could turn it on. We'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I can turn it on. But
and unfortunately, he was right. He was right because they turned it on in the two playoff series and the two playoff runs, and they did a really good job. But it's like for a team like this, like the Mavericks adjacent stuff, one now, they have to be better in the regular season. They can't have, you know, my goal for next year, just quite candidly, this is way too early for this. It doesn't matter who they draft. My goal for next year is literally like 43-39, like four games over 500, which would be a massive increase. As opposed to where they are right now. It's like an 18 or 16 game. And like that sort of stuff just doesn't really happen. You know, the Con Knipple led Charlotte team, like they had that huge burst. And that sort of like you see it and it's like, oh, we can do that. And then you look at how many teams in like NBA history actually have that kind of leap. It's really rare. It's just hard to do. So I just need them. I hope that they're playoff adjacent next year. That's my hope.
I agree. I just would like some fun games. Like it's tough to watch just rock fight after rock fight. Yes. Quickly moving on, you talked about the rookie of the year. I took too much pleasure in the Hornets and Con playing bad in those two games. I've also checked that weird Google sheet that keeps track of all of the people voting for the awards more times this week than I'd like to admit. So he is losing currently, but that doesn't mean he'll lose in general.
I keep making the joke. That the rookie of the year voting reminds me of this, of the get out the vote section of Gangs from New York, where Daniel Day-Lewis's character is like dragging people to the polls.
Yeah. That's
what I think of.
Yeah. It's not. Also, why is the draft on Mother's Day? What are we doing? I just realized that it's on Mother's Day at
the lottery is
2 p. I'm sorry. Yeah. The lottery 2 p.m. Central.
What are we doing? Do they want me in trouble?
Does my mom like? Do they want me to watch it with my mom? Are we trying to capture new viewers?
Another Mother's Day massacre for Mavs fans. As we fall to 12th.
Yeah, she'll ask me about the teams. Really confused.
No, my mother still calls and asks me how Luke Donka, because she just can't get his name right. You know,
it's close enough. I mean, you know who she's talking about.
I do.
And then I'm good with what I think. I'm good with whatever they end up doing in the draft, only because. I feel like Cooper's so malleable. So as long as you get a good player, a solid rotational player, hopefully you can even take a swing, whatever. I think Coop raises the floor so much that I feel good with whatever they're going to put around him because you can build so many different ways.
Yeah, I still don't really know what I expect Cooper to be.
Yeah.
That's the part that's so fun about him for me.
He's like the up and down piece in Tetris where it's like you can put it in a lot of different spots.
That's where it's like if they got, let's just say that they were to draft someone like Darren Peterson, who had problems all year, but by all accounts is just like an alpha, like psycho. I love that the idea of Cooper Flagg being like supercharged Andre Kirilenko, who was kind of a man out of time
with a better haircut. If you
watch those, yeah, I don't know. Cooper's haircut is rough. He has the team broccoli thing going.
Well, I think his problem is he's got the like short white people basketball hair that gets bad. Like when it gets sweaty, it looks bad.
But like the Kirilenko thing, some people are like, why would you want that? It's like, well, I think Andre Kirilenko was a man out of time. Like Andre Kirilenko in today's NBA, like
that haircut.
Right. Well, Andre Kirilenko in today's NBA would destroy because he'd be a stretch four instead of a three. Or you play, you know, the kind of thing that Cooper like was doing for the Mavericks. And so, but you know, I could also see like the option of Cooper becoming a true closer. You know, he was forced into the position so much this year that maybe he does become a guy who has the ball for like a 28% usage. I don't know. I really like the malleability and what he could be is easily what's the most fun about him. Relative to like my Dirk Nowitzki experience and the Luka experience, which were so like I had a pretty good idea with both those guys. Like, okay, this is what their limit, like their potential could be.
Or like this is the pieces around, like you need an archetype of this or this or this.
They're gonna play a certain way. And like Cooper, I'm just like, I don't know. Like you could convince me of anything.
Yep. And then finally, did you hear that Locked On Mavs said that you kind of look like a Tim Connolly? You guys look related in some way.
Yeah, and it's the glasses thing. He's like, because Tim made, Nick made the point, and Isaac, they're like, without glasses. And I took off my glasses, and I looked at the picture, and I guess I see it. It's a head shape thing, too.
Okay. I just was wondering. It made me chuckle, and I assumed you heard. Funny. Yeah. Hey, no. If you could be as successful as Tim Connolly.
I'd be fine with this. And nice. The best part is, if he were to become Mavericks GM, I actually am quite good friends with he's been on my show before. His name's Adam Mares, from DNVR. Mm-hmm. He and one of the things that Connolly was very good at when he was Denver's GM was buttering up the local media. Like he would go out on the town with these guys. He'd be like, all right, guys, we're gonna, you know, like once or twice a year, he'd make sure everybody showed up at the same bar and would like basically butter. I'm like, okay, I could do that. I'm tired of being at odds with Mavs people. It's not any fucking fun when none of these guys like me.
I would kill for the twin photo of you and Tim Connolly.
Might maybe make that happen this summer.
That'll be great. All right, Kirk, hey, thanks for hosting. Love listening to you.
I'll try to do more of these. Appreciate you. Okay, I'm gonna cut to a quick break, then we're gonna try Michael again, who is having audio issues. Michael, if you can hear me now, try to detach Bluetooth stuff, because that seems to be the overarching problem when people join from phones. So if there's three ways to support the show, as you guys know, the first is just listening to ads, which I'm going to insert here. The second way, there's some links in the show notes if you actually want to send us money. The third way is tell your friends. You know, this is the prime opportunity for sickos to join the show. So I'm going to insert some ads and we will be right back. Okay, thanks so much for waiting. I don't know when Josh and I are going to be recording regularly. I'm giving Josh like time to wander in the desert. I'm sure we'll start. You know, Josh likes basketball. I think that the grind of the regular season wears both of us down, and these last two haven't been particularly fun. But I think we'll begin recording maybe next week, talk a little more. There's been enough news that has happened, in some cases news that hasn't happened. There's just, you know, fun stuff going on. Okay, Michael, can you hear me now?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
Sound there good. We go. There we go. Yeah. So Kirk, I was just as disappointed, man, as you to see us drop from 6 to 8. This week I just, you know, because I've really been looking forward. This is like the one thing we had to look forward to was this draft, and to see us drop, man, it was brutal. But you know what? I think I've come around on the fact that, you know, we're gonna get a good player if we stay at 8, I think. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about. But who is your favorite prospect right now that you would think we would get in the like 8 to 9 range?
See, that's what's tough. Like Brian was talking about Mikal Brown, and I liked him earlier in the season. I really fell hard for Wagner during the tournament. Because I number one, I'm a sucker for Wagler's story, where he was sort of he wasn't a top 100 prospect, and the University of Illinois coach was so excited to have him. And then he just every game, every month, his game seemed to grow. But unfortunately for the Mavericks, I think he's going to be a top 7 guy. And if the Mavericks stay at 8th, then we're shit out of luck, quite candidly. I very much enjoyed the game of Berries, the guy from University of Arizona. He'll probably, I don't see him going any earlier than 8th. So that's sort of where we are. And then past that, you know, I like Filon a lot. He's not a settling guy for me. I think I would talk myself into it very quickly. And I think he has probably one of the higher floors of these guys, because I think that given his now 2 years of college experience and the fact that he looked stronger and better, even though he's still pretty skinny, I think he could come in and help Dallas right away, particularly if Kyrie Irving's going to be around. A little shared backcourt duty there. I'm going to be very interested to watch the combine, because I think that one of the things we know, and I want you guys to all think about this during the playoffs, is frankly, just size matters. Look at how many guys in starting lineups and in rotations are shorter than 6'4". There's not very many of them. And these are listed 6'4". We know that a lot of these guys are taller. because they have to get measured in the combine as opposed to several years ago where it's like, I used to do talk about this all the time where it's like, oh, Kyrie Irving 6'3". He's not, he's really not. Oh, goes these players, some of these guards are listed as short or as listed as taller than they are. And now with the way the draft combine goes, you can't do that anymore. So we're just going to see, we're going to see, what about you? What are you thinking?
So, in this draft, one of the reasons why I ended up being okay with where we are at is, you know, would I like to be 6, maybe 7? Yes. But, you know, in a draft where from 5 to 10, there's a lot of question marks. To me, there's one guy who is kind of like an answer there, and it's Brayden Burries for me. Now, I wasn't very high on him originally, but he's kind of come around to me because out of all of these guys, you know, we talk about Acuff. We freak out about, you know, his defense and how he's going to translate. His small guard, Wagler, when it comes to his size, you know, his athleticism, you know, Mykael Brown. First of all, I don't even think he's going to be there at 8 if his medicals check out, but him and his back injury, you know, and you know, just his inefficiency. And we really haven't seen a lot of tape. His defense wasn't very good. But when it comes to Burries, and I think this is a guy I think you should do a little more research on, because I think this could be your guy, because this guy, you know, both his parents come from basketball backgrounds. His mom was a basketball player in college. His dad was a basketball player in college. Yeah, he's going to come into the season almost 21 years old, but he is the most polished person there. And I think he has the highest floor. You know, he's 6'4", and I think he's a legit 6'4", 205. He loves to rebound. That's one of his favorite things to do. He's the best perimeter defender out of all of these guys, 5 through 10. He shot 39% from 3. He doesn't have burst. He doesn't have high-end athleticism, but he's a 3-level scorer, and he just does winning stuff, you know? And I think that's why I think you're going to really like him and why I ended up liking him. You know, all of us here in this Mavs community, we want Coop to get a co-star. We might not get that this draft, but, you know, you also need other things. You know, you need your Derek White. And I think that that could be his ceiling. A guy who just does winning stuff on the floor. You know, we need shooting. That's right. We need scoring. We need a playmaker. You know, we also need a point of attack defender. And Brayden Burries is the best one. And he's got an NBA ready body. And, you know, he just checks all the boxes for me. And I think he's somebody that he's not going to be the sexy pick. He doesn't have the flashy attributes, but I think we're all going to look back and say, if we were able to get him, like, that was a piece we needed, even though it wasn't like, you know, the co-star, the high swing, you know. And my last thing I want to say on him is people say he doesn't have the highest ceiling. That's why they don't like him. You know, he had 22% usage in college, and he was an off-ball guy. We never really saw him be a point guard, but this speaks to his malleability. You know, he can guard 1 through 3. He can play the 1, the 2. You know, so I think it's just going to be easier. Unlike an Acuff, you have to build a whole ecosystem around him. This guy, you can fit him next to Kyrie. When Kyrie goes to the bench, you can have him bringing the ball up. So those are just some of the thoughts I have about him.
Well, that's a good sales pitch. I mean, I will eventually talk myself into being happy at most things. I think that I want, like, I almost prefer a position discussion more than a particular player. Like, I want a guard. Watching the Mavericks not be able to dribble this year made me pretty sick. Like, it was just awful. So unless there's like a swing forward that somebody's super thrilled with that would be in that position, I can't even really think of any bigs that would be like, there's the big up of the German guy, because the Mavericks are contractually obligated to have a German guy. Like, if the team was built differently, maybe I would want somebody like this, but it's just, I want a guard. Like, I want an attacking guard. And, you know, Burries might not be a point guard, but he is at least an attacking scorer. And that is, you know, the 3-level element of what you're talked about. Like, that's important. The Mavericks need that. So you could talk me into it for sure.
Yeah. And I think the other one is, like, say, you know, worst case scenario, we do fall to that 10 range. I also like the idea of LeBaron Filon. You know, he was a guy last year I really liked, you know, the Mavs would trade up and get maybe in some way, like, and he was supposed to be a guy that was, you know, going to be drafted based on defense alone. You know, like you mentioned earlier in the pod, went back to college, worked on the things he needed to work on. But I think, to me, the most impressive thing about him is his usage skyrocketed. 30% in college basketball, like that's a very high usage, and his efficiency skyrocketed. Went from 32% on threes to 40% on threes. You know, everywhere you see him is efficient. So I really like this kind of archetype. I just, man, I get scared about the small guards. And I think that's why I really like Burry's is, you know, I'm looking in these playoffs and it's like, you know, you see certain guys that just can't get minutes because they just, you know, if you're that small, it's just tough to stay on the floor. And,
you're a target. Kinda, I mean, Reed yeah. Shepard is a target every time he goes on the court.
Exactly. And I don't want that. The other thing I was going to talk about with you is, I was actually really excited about this 30th pick, but the NIL is, I mean, at this point, I have no idea who's even going to be like all the guys I had that would potentially be mocked there. I mean, nobody knows at this point. Nobody has any idea who's going to be there. For us, so
right, but I mean, what makes the pick in itself like valuable to me is the cost controlled element. And normally, teams that are picking 30 are teams that are already good, so they tend to take let's just say project players. And like that's how Brunson fell to 34 or whatever back in 2018. And I sort of think the same thing will happen this year, it tends to happen every year. So wherever they get in the 30th, I think we're going to be pleased with, because it's just the potential of adding like a guy who's a rotation player by the 2027-28 season. That's kind of my hope for somebody at 30. I mean, it's a pretty high hope, but I think, you know, the way these drafts end up being, because it's a 2-day draft now, I'm just glad it's not a second rounder, because what happened, what we saw happen the last, you know, 2 years, or as last year in particular, is like so many guys in that early portion of the second round where they should be going, their agents are more or less like threatening teams because they want to be able to dictate where these guys end up. And instead the Mavericks are going to be, you know, pecking somebody last, their 30th pick in the draft, and they'll be able to get someone that they can then lock into a 4-year contract at a very reasonable rate. And I'm excited about that opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm just, you know, really, I mean, I'm going to be just waiting for this lottery. I mean, you know, just I'm just really anxious about it. You know, I heard the guys over at a Mavs film room talking about, you know, because we're just going to be sitting there and, you know, from 14 to 8, you know, if that doesn't go in the order it's supposed to go, then, you know, the Mavericks have moved backwards. And that's just going to be, you know, it's going to be an anxious few minutes there for all of us. But, you know, I think what I've landed on is my number one I want there is Mykal Brown. I don't think he's going to be there should medicals check out, which, you know, I do think he's going to be picked before us. And, you know, I really like Kingston Flemings, but, you know, I think
he's going to measure out too small.
Well, his 3-point situation is what's freaking me. Like I just watched Brandon Willie. I just watched guards who can't shoot. I can't go through another season of like watching.
No, that's fair. I couldn't like, I was so tired of that because that was the element that I think that fans who are not checking in every game didn't understand. It's like the Mavericks had guards that were so easily scoutable. And, you know, obviously Kyrie helps that situation, but in the long term, you need a dynamic player there. And that's why where your Burry's argument is a strong one.
I was upset whenever we were there because I was like, I don't want, like, I see a lot of people don't like him because it's like, you know, that's not the big swing. That's not the sexy pick. That's not going to be the co-star. But like, you know, we'll have to figure that out another way via trade or, I don't know, some other way, but like that to me feels like we also have to walk away with this draft with somebody that can play real minutes and impact winning in a meaningful way. And, sure. You know, for all the things that we know an Acuff can do, all of these different guys can do, there's also massive question marks that, you know, who knows if this guy is going to stay on the court. I watched Reed Shepard be one of the most explosive offensive guys in college and can't get any minutes in the NBA. So are we so sure that these guys before Burry's can translate? You know, I know a guy who loves to rebound, loves to play defense, you know, is just has that toughness. I just feel good about it. And if we walked away with him on draft night, I would feel okay about it. I would be pissed at our fucking process because that was very lazy. But, you know, I think it's a step in the right direction. And we'll look back and say, you know what? We still got one of the better guys.
Sure. Yeah. Well, hey, man, thanks so much for waiting.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kirk.
All right. Come back next time we do this. I hope hope to talk to you again. Have a good one. Yeah,
you too, man. Thanks.
All right. Coming up next is my friend, Mr. Cam. What's going on? How you doing?
Lucas, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm kind of dragging ass tonight, to be honest, but talking to you guys helps keep me going. What's going on? What are you thinking? We haven't talked in at least 3 weeks now.
I'm sort of getting this theory that is like for like playoff teams, like championship teams, man. Like, I'm just kind of out on like small guards and like offensive-minded bigs who are just bad on defense.
Preach.
Just like this team, man. Just seeing, man. Like JB. I forgot the guy, Dennis Jenkins, Sengun, Jalen Duren, even Jokic to an extent in these playoffs, man. Like, it's just so hard to win with those guys, man, because they just – it's not just a good archetype, which is winning in the playoffs. It just – so that's why I'm just kind of out on Akos. Like, you have to be like a Steph-level offensive guard for you to even, like, win a championship. And it's just like, I don't know if Darius can even, like – it can ever make those levels, you know what I'm saying? So I would rather just go with – someone else, but he knows, man. Maybe make it the top four, man. Like, his last year, the Spurs got number two pick with eight best odds, you know. And like, I don't want to jinx it, you know, so knock on wood, but the sixth seed has never moved up, so maybe it was better that we got the eighth seed instead of the sixth seed, you know. Who knows? But I'm not gonna fully, like, I'm telling you, we need to try not to jinx it, because this will be like the first year it will happen. But I'm just kind of out on this, like the small guards and the offensive minded bigs are bad on defense, man. So,
and look, also, I am too. Yeah. And it's just, you watch playoffs like this, and then you see like certain guys rise, and this is no disrespect to Acuff, but I do think he'll measure out at like 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's considered right now like a top six pick, I feel like I'm missing
something. He'll be a fun regular season player.
It's true. Like yeah. And fun and he'll being fun it. Matters, but it's just, yeah. You know, we look at a guy like Cooper, everybody's eyes are on the prize. We're looking further ahead past fun, and you're like, all right, I want to make the playoffs.
Yeah. No, in the playoffs, I want to actually win. And I just don't think that the archetype is a winner right now.
That's very, very difficult, because the game changes almost overnight into being something different.
Yeah. And with Fleming, I feel like 3-point shot is a little bit, like, I mean, he doesn't have a good shot, he has good percentages. It was a low volume, but I think that's kind of more of the offense. So I'm like, so I would take Fleming's over Acuff, because like the shot doesn't look bad. He has a good percentage when he shoots it. It's just, you know, one, he was like, he seems like a really good kid, so he didn't want to like step on the like upperclassmen's toes. And also that the offense they run, like he kind of really didn't lead to a lot of 3-point opportunity. So, you know, like, I'm not going to completely abandon Fleming's, you know, but like, I'm going to watch out for it, but I really like him as well. But also Brown, I really like Brown, but it's just that back scares me, man. It's been a 2-year thing, man, since high school. It's like, I don't
know. And that stuff will get sussed out in a major way.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if he's healthy, man, he's like my, like, top pick outside of like the top four guys if he's healthy, you know. But if he's not, then it's like I'd rather go Filon if Mikal's back doesn't check out, you know. If you don't move up, like if you move up, obviously, like I'll take one of the four guys, because if I don't, like, there could be a possibility that we get two and maybe like Indiana gets four. And like, I kind of heard this from DLS, you know, like Indiana's notoriously cheap, you know, like Andrew Nembhard's getting expensive, you know what I'm saying? So maybe we can go from like 2 to 4, we can get Andrew Nembhard in the fourth pick, and maybe like another fourth or second rounder. You know, like I think that'd be a pretty good deal, but I don't want to put that in the air and jinx right. us. You know, so
get to the lottery first, and then if the Mavericks do something, if they get lucky again, then we can start having fun.
But if I'm four,
real fun discussions.
Yeah, but if we really on four, I'm keeping a pick, man, because this draft, man, I really like Caleb Wilson. So it was like, I think that'd be really fun. So it was like, unless it's like a really, really good package, I'm just picking Caleb, you know? So it's like, I kind of get y'all's points, man, but I think we can find tradable assets in other areas other than this pick, because I think Caleb has a chance to be a really special player. So I would just take him, and then maybe they would probably trade PJ and Gaff for PJ and Gaff for assets, Clay as well for assets, you know, like unless what a trade offer there is like so good that you just can't pass it up, you know. But other than that, I'm just gonna, if you land four, just pick Caleb. But if not, if you just stay there, man, it's gonna be kind of hard, man. Cause
sure, well, that's why
five to ten is kind of like unpredictable to really see, because a lot of it is medical and how the playoffs are gonna check out, you know. Because if the Knicks win a championship, then, you know, if the Knicks win a championship, I think Darius Acuff probably goes five. But if they don't, I can see him kind of dropping a little bit, you know. But I'm kind of afraid that he drops to us, because I just don't like that archetype of player in the playoffs, you know. So it's like, hopefully, man, hopefully we don't have to worry about that, man. Because if they may let it happen to the Spurs, they can let it happen to us from 8-2. But, you know, the love child Spurs always get what they want, you know.
And so wild, so annoying.
Yeah. And of course, the last year, they had to get drunk for 8-2. Of course, you know, but hopefully it happens to us as well, you know. But, man, I just really like, gosh, man, this is so hard, man. Like, I'm trying not to, like, I'm trying to be reasonable, you know, but
sure.
It does suck that we kind of lost one of those games, man. But if history were kind of repeat itself, I think it'll be better than what it actually worked out better, because we will probably just stay at six, and now we actually have a better chance of moving up, you know. So there's some positive in that, but if you don't move up, then it's like, oh, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, it's the last time they get the opportunity to.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, thanks so much for joining. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Always fun to talk to Cam. Then last, Brandon, what's up, buddy? What's going on tonight? Find that unmute button. There you go.
All right. Can you hear me, Kurt?
I can. You sound good. What's up?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm like you. I'm a loyalist. So when the Mavericks lose, I'm pretty much done with the season. I watch some games, but I kind of tap out when the Mavs season is over. It's kind of hard for me to follow any other teams. I mean, I follow teams during the season, like before Cleveland was this, you know, kind of like cosmopolitan team. I would watch, you know, Sexton and Garland and those guys play, but. Yeah, after the Mavs leave, I kind of check out and just look forward to the draft and look forward for summer league and stuff like that.
That's right.
But yeah, what I was saying earlier is, you know, like I feel like if you can have Ben Simmons with a decent 3-point shot, I would take that if that was Cooper Flagg. Defense, handles. Can get to the goal when he wanted to, and if he had a serviceable 3-point shot, I would take that. So for me, I don't think he needs to be a 3-point presence. He just needs to be able to knock down shots whenever it's necessary. And what's unfortunate is if he doesn't get a lot of help, it seemed like he would be placed in that position to where he won't be able to show his full potential. They'll force him on the perimeter. And, you know, to me, that would be his kind of like his situation. So I'm hoping that they at least not only just a point guard, But to me, I would like to see Cooper at the 3 or 2-3 or something like a 1-2-3 combo or something. But I would like to see a point guard and a shooting guard and have Cooper at the 3, because that would take a lot of, I mean, not really taking the ball out of his hand, but giving him opportunities to make more shots and not having to be the key decision maker.
Sure. I mean, I think there's kind of open questions about whether Max Christie is like an actual like starting level shooting guard in the NBA for his, you know, as he looks very good in stretches and then he's not been able to be consistent enough. But I mean, one thing I think that we haven't really talked about enough, and that's fine. You know, it's off season. We'll talk about it a lot, is I expect some wholesale changes within the roster itself, in that, you know, they're going to be there are going to be trades. So the Mavericks are right up against the salary cap line. And then when the league year rolls over into July, I feel pretty strongly that there are going to be, you know, of the guys that we traded for in the 2024 seat, like the trade deadline in 2024, PJ and Gaff, I feel pretty strongly that one of the two is not going to be on the team. And then, you know, you got the Klay Thompson situation. There's a lot going on there. You know, he made it seem like in his exit interview that the Mavericks never really talked to him about being traded, which I think is interesting. And so, you know, and then there's also Najee Marshall, who, you know, he says he wants to be on the team for the long haul, but I don't know. Like I he doesn't shoot well enough, and he wasn't a very good defender this year. So it's a tough situation. They have a lot of things going on that they're going to need to suss out. That doesn't even begin to touch on Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder, like, if they can actually, if they really wanted to move Kyrie, Klay, Gafford, like, what's the upside for moving those three? You got, because that Kyrie's good, but he's aged. Gafford, not really consistent. Klay, I mean, he's Klay, but he's not the Klay that people really, what I expected him to be as a player. So, like, if there was a package move or moving those people by themselves, like, what could they do? And it seems like the Mavericks are always in this type of situation. Like, they get players, but it's hard for them to get free agents, it's hard for them to move contracts, and they're always up against kind of like the salary cap. And it seems like they never learned from their history that, you know, this doesn't work for them, because, like, they have I believe, like, if they do want to move a contract, they could, but let's say that they had no choice but to sign Gafford back because everybody left. It would have to be at a contract, you know, something that was more favorable to Gafford, because,
well, he's all, like, he got that contract extension. He's going to be making $20 million a year next year. He started a 3-year, like $60 million extension that starts this upcoming season. So it's like, I just don't see him being a Maverick long-term. Like, Nico did some things where it's like they were very clear he was thinking about next moves that never materialized. So it's that's why I think there's going to be some pretty wholesale changes to the roster, because, you know, Kidd saying in his season ending, what do you call it? Whatever the last interview of the season is, he's saying, oh, there's pieces here. And it's like, are there? Like, I didn't, the team didn't win very much. And I know some of that was by design, but it's just, they're not good enough to, like, grow like 16 or 15 or 16 games. Like, they need to change the roster up.
And you said it a lot during the season, you and Josh, like, the Mavericks, they'll be down a lot and they'll come back and lower the score in the first half. And, you know, third quarter, they'll come back and they'll do good. But it's the same thing in, like, every game. They'll just get blown out the water. And like you said, a lot of it's by design. But then if you think about it, like, those games, Christie, you know, kind of wasn't playing well. Marshall shot himself onto the bench, and it was just a lot of repetition of the Mavs just underperforming. And that's what I think about when I think about this roster. I think about, you know, Cooper being in a position where, you know, he had to shoot a lot. PJ, you know, kind of carrying a load. Gafford, and it seemed like even Gafford, like, think about this. It seemed like even Gafford, his high this year wasn't like high, but, you know, he was more of a serviceable person than anything. And an implication of how Dallas played, like, look at all the hours. I mean, look at all the time that Dwight Powell spent on the court. Like, if you really need Dwight Powell, a veteran at that age, with, you know, with that skill set to play a lot, that says a lot about your front court and just, like, your team in general. I don't know, like, what Dallas really wants to hold on to, but it seems like they don't want to rebuild around Cooper. They want to say, hey, maybe we can fix this or fix that. But it doesn't, to me, in my opinion, there's not a lot that they could build around with Cooper. You know what, PJ and a lot of role players, but I mean, there's not a lot. I could say, like, hey, you got to hold on to this guy because this
sure. I agree with that. That's why they got to. That's why I think we're about to see a lot of changes. So it's going to be a long off season.
It's going to be a long off season. But and one last thing, Kirk, you like bringing up Kidd. It's like I think some people are like, hey, give me opportunity to maybe coach Cooper or something like that. Like, what do you think about? And this is just a guess. Like, what would you think about like Kerr coming to the Mavericks?
Who coming to the Mavs? I'm sorry.
Steve Kerr. What would you think about, like, if Steve Kerr would come to the Mavericks?
Well, I think a lot of people, if there's a Steve Kerr connection, it would be in the role of a general manager. I think he seems a little burnt out on coaching. Don't really blame him after the last 10 years of his life where he's done an excellent job. But, you know, 80 games a year times 10 years, or more than 80 games, 100 in some instances, it's just a lot. Sorry. That's sort of my Kerr thoughts.
That's great. But, man, I appreciate your time, Kirk, and I hope you have enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, man. Glad you came on. Okay, guys. Let's see here. I don't know when Josh and I will come back on. Maybe I'll try to do, like, Monday, Wednesday recordings. That sort of fits around my son's basketball practice and that sort of thing. But we'll see. If people like this and people want more of it, you know, hit me up. I like doing these. I like talking to people. This is, you know, low stress. And, you know, I think people enjoy talking about Mavs with other people who are passionate about the Mavs. That's been kind of the more funny thing about my personal life is I, you know, get kind of – I've been back in Dallas for several years, but, you know, I get younger kids. And you know, as I get out into the world and, you know, like meet other parents, people find out that I do this. It's just a reminder that, like, very few people – like most people watch that are Mavs fans, I think that would consider themselves Mavs fans, watch like 20, 30 games a year. We watch 80. We're weird. So it's like, you know, being able to talk with other Mavs fans like this, I think is fun. So if you want to, you know, if you're listening on the podcast, like the recorded version, you want to join, you know, head on over to the YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, and you should get notified whenever we go live. That's when Josh and I do. So, all right. Thanks so much for hanging out, guys. We will talk to you at some point soon. Go Mavs.